Welcome to the radio ministry of Clearview Church in Henderson, where our goal is to make Christ visible. Clearview is a place of genuine worship with ministries for all age groups and all peoples. For more information, visit us at 3485 Oxford Road in Henderson, or visit us online at clearviewbc.org. Now join us for this week's message by Pastor Abadon Shaw.
Just want to welcome all of you to our online service. Many of you know that we are in our series on the life of Christ from all four Gospels. We've been in this series for a few years, and people ask me how long it's going to be before we're done. I don't know, maybe a decade. The way we're going, we're looking at everything that Christ did and spoke and what that means to us. And so it's going to be a long series. But this morning we're coming to a very familiar passage where Jesus calms a storm on the Sea of Galilee. The message is titled, Sleeping Through the Storm. Now this passage, as I mentioned to you a few minutes ago, we're going to be listening and watching it as it's being read on the Sea of Galilee. It's amazing. You will feel as if you were there 2,000 years ago with Jesus Christ. So let's turn our attention to the screen.
So Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And we are on the Sea of Galilee. Even though it's not a stormy afternoon, you can just picture that. You can just imagine what it would have been like for the storm to suddenly come and for the disciples to be scared, and for Jesus to stand and rebuke them and do a powerful miracle.
Now, as all of you know, Winter Storm Helena has struck us over this weekend. And yesterday morning, it was about 7:30 or so, we were waking up. I usually get up about 5 in the morning, but you know, when you're tired and when it's nice and comfortable and you're cold, you don't want to get out of bed that early. And so we were barely waking up, and then we heard this big sound. And I knew exactly, I told Nicole, a tree just fell on the house. We ran to the bathroom window, looked out, and sure enough, a big pine tree, the diameter is probably about as big as a truck tire, fell on our house. We quickly got dressed, ran outside, and looked at it, and then went up in the attic to figure out, and praise God, nothing came through. But Nicole will tell you, repeatedly I was telling her, we didn't need this. We did not need this. How many of y'all have said that in your life? As you're going through something, or something happens, and you said, we didn't need this. We did not really need this. In the message we're going to look at is windstorm that came upon the Sea of Galilee while Jesus and his disciples were sailing across. But what is more so puzzling is that Jesus was the one who told his disciples, "Let us go across." I guess the question that comes to my mind is, if Jesus was God, is God, did he not know about the storm? Why did he allow this? And then another thing we heard in the scripture is that he fell asleep. Was Jesus so overtaken by his humanity that he could not even stay awake? Or was he so callous that he did not care that his disciples were dying? This morning, we're going to answer some of these questions. And this is not just a, the deep message or interesting. This has some very powerful applications for our daily lives, for the storms we go through. But before we do that, let me ask you this morning, are you going through a difficult storm in your life? Does it seem like that this one will drown you? Do you wonder in your heart if God knows it all, if God knows what's coming in the future, and He is all powerful, why doesn't He do anything about the storm? Why doesn't He help you? Let me ask you this morning, is Jesus in the boat of your life? Is He with you as you're going through this storm? Have you ever accepted Christ as your Savior? There are three things we're going to see in this passage. The first thing is this: God never abandons us, especially in the storm. Listen to verse 35. On the same day when evening had come, He said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now, why did Jesus want to go over to the other side of Galilee? If you read the context of that passage in Mark chapter 2, 3, and 4, what you will see is that they were getting run over by the multitudes. People were coming from all over the place to find Jesus. In fact, at one time it was so bad that Jesus told His disciples, "Have a small boat ready so I can get in it," because people were crushing Him. And the Bible also tells us that they didn't even have time to eat. You can just imagine how stressful that may have been for Jesus. So He tells them, "Let's go over." Now, if Jesus wanted to get away from the stress, He could have done it. All He had to do was snap His finger, not even snap His finger. He could have just teleported Himself away from the crowd. But Jesus knew that His disciples needed a break as well. So the boat was not for Him, it was for them. So He tells them, "Let us go over to the other side. It is time to get away." Now, don't misunderstand. This was not just physical or mental stress that Jesus and the disciples were going through. It was also spiritual stress. You know, if you work too much, or you work around the clock, or burn the candle at both ends, you get physically exhausted. What you need is a break. You need a nap. You need to get away for a day or two, or go out and spend time with your loved ones. Spiritual stress is different. Jesus and the disciples were ministering 24/7. They were healing, they were preaching, they were doing things constantly. And so you can imagine spiritually they were worn out. So what happens here? Jesus knows it is time to help them get away and spiritually be nourished. Now, listen to verse 36. "Now when they had left the multitude, they took Him along in the boat as He was, and other little boats were also with Him." So, Jesus was not just sending them off or on some adventurous retreat to learn about God. He was going with them. In fact, Jesus told them, "Be strong." It was a reminder from Deuteronomy chapter 31:6, when God says, "Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you." So in the same way, Jesus did not leave nor forsake His disciples. He went with them. Let me ask you this morning, do you realize that when you go through storms in your life, that God never abandons you? That God never forsakes you? In fact, He allows the storms in your life for a reason. Jesus knew that His disciples needed to get away, and He allowed this, but He didn't abandon them. He was with them the whole time. Do you know that God is with you when you're going through a storm in your life? In fact, the last words that Jesus spoke to his disciples in Matthew 28:20 was that, "I am with you always, even to the end of the age." So here's my encouragement to you. Whatever you're facing in your life right now, it may be relational, it may be physical, financial, you know your storm, or it may be a combination of various things. Don't forget, God is with you. He will never tell you, just go through the storm and hope it works out, I'll meet you on the other side. He is in the boat with you. He is with you. I had to remind myself of that many times in my life. Going through a storm. Am I alone? See, that's what the enemy wants you to believe. Hey, this is it. This is the big one. No one's going to come to help you. And then God in his own way, through the word, through godly people, through a message on TV, a podcast, helps me realize he is with me. He has not forsaken me. So the first thing we see in this passage is that God never abandons us, especially in the storms. But here's number two. Storms cause us to turn to God in desperation. Listen to verse 37. "And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling." Now keep in mind that these men were expert fishermen. Most of them were. They knew how to navigate the Sea of Galilee. I'm sure they had done that hundreds, if not thousands of times. They also knew, by the way, the Sea of Galilee, I've been on it several times, everything would be peaceful and quiet like you saw in the video. All of a sudden, the wind starts blowing. I mean, it gets rough. Now, I don't think they have the storms like they used to at one time, but it gets really rough. And you wonder, oh my goodness, is it happening right now? These fishermen knew about all this, but this storm was different. It was a great windstorm. The waves were slamming against the boat, and it began to fill up. It means they were about to drown. So what did they do? Their first question is, where is Jesus? What is he doing? Where is he at? Listen to verse 38. "But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow." Now these boats, by the way, are not as big as you would think. We saw one at a museum near Galilee, and they're only about a meter and a half deep. So I don't know where Jesus found space to sleep, but he did. And I don't know how the wind and the spray did not hit him, but for some reason he was tucked away. And listen to how they addressed him. They awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Can we all agree that Jesus was aware of the storm? Now, if you believe he was God in flesh, the second person of the Trinity, he knew there was a storm. He knew all about it. In fact, I would argue that he orchestrated the storm. Why did he do that? You know, my finite human mind says, if I am stressed out, like the disciples were stressed out, helping Jesus, working, spiritually worn out, the last thing they needed was a storm. You know, that's going to stress them out even more. So, why does God do that in our life? Have you ever wondered that? It's like things are going great, all of a sudden, one thing happens. Then another thing happens. Then another, and it's like you ask God, is it going to end? Now, I want you to hear me very carefully. God allows these stressful, stormy situations in our lives to awaken us out of our self-sufficiency and our rut. We get into a rut when it comes to the Christian life. We begin to do things out of habit. Storms have a way of awakening us. We cannot play Christianity anymore. So Jesus allows them to go through the storm, and now they're really awakened. It's no longer, oh, there's a leper over there, Jesus, would you like to heal him now, or should he take a number? Oh, there's people hungry, would you like to feed them, or what do we do? Jesus, here's a great place you can speak, and multitudes will hear you. Now during a storm, we're dying. Do you not care that we are perishing? I mean, they are no longer in a rut. You see, God allows storms to come into our lives to break us down, but listen carefully, in the process to bring us closer to Him, to get real with Him. How many of you have done that in your life? You know, you have your prayer, your pat prayer, you know, you get up in the morning and say the exact same thing. You pray before meals, exact same things. And then relationship, children, grandchildren, health, community, nation, problems begin to come. All of a sudden you go, God, if you don't step in, this is not going to work. And I've been asking you for this, God, and what are you doing? Why don't you answer? You know, your prayers become more real. Why did Jesus allow these people, his disciples, to go through the storm? To make their faith real. Now listen to how Jesus handled this now. Verse 39. They awakened him. He arose and rebuked the wind. Now Matthew tells us that he arose and he got onto the disciples first. I think he did both. Before and after he got onto them. But first, listen. He rebuked the wind and said to the sea. He actually spoke to the sea. Peace. Be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm immediately. But then he turns again to the disciples and he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Now keep in mind, Jesus did not ask an unfair question to these disciples. I mean, you may say, you know, hey, they're dying. They're dying right now. They're drowning. What do you mean by you don't have enough faith? You see, these disciples knew better. They had seen miracle after miracle. They were not uneducated about who Jesus was. I want you to hear me carefully. Storms have a way of revealing the depth of our faith. What Jesus was doing with his disciples was exposing them to the level of their own faith. You know, in our own lives, we see miracle after miracle. We see God come through time and again. And guess what? Another problem comes and we say, I don't know how we're going to make it. I don't know why God doesn't care. Wait a minute. God has given you enough proof, enough evidence that he has taken care of you before. Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Can I ask you this morning, are you going through a storm? Have you called on God yet? Have you asked him? Have you called in desperation? Not the typical rote prayer, but have you desperately said, God, please, we need you. Someone said this, and I heard it years ago. Don't forget in the dark what God has taught you in the light. Have you forgotten what God has done for you? So, two things so far. God never abandons us, especially in the storm. Number two, the storms cause us to turn to God in desperation. But here's number three. Through the storm, God reveals himself in a new way. In a way that you have never known him before. And let me warn you, this point may seem unrealistic, unreal to many of us because we never get to this point. We throw our hands up in desperation, we get angry with God, we stop coming to church, stop reading the Bible, stop praying, so we never get to the point where we say, God, I never knew you this way. Even I have done that. I mean, I'm preaching this does not mean that I have mastered it. Many times in my life, I have done the same thing that everybody else does. And then God, through the Holy Spirit, convicts me and says, I'm trying to teach you something more about me, and you've already given up. So, what is it that God was revealing himself to the disciples in the storm? What was Jesus revealing? Jesus is God. verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Sometimes people have a very simplistic understanding of Jesus' miracles. Some people just don't believe in them. Others do, but it's like they don't happen anymore. And still others, you know, jump to the conclusion that, yeah, Jesus did the miracles. That means he's God. All that is true. But every miracle that Jesus did had a deeper significance. There are two things in this miracle that are very significant. The first is the sea, S-E-A-C. And the second is the sleeping Jesus. Now we cannot forget this, okay? We cannot ignore this. See, to start with, we need to understand what the sea represented to the ancient peoples, especially the people of God. For ancient peoples like the Babylonians and the Ugarites, the sea was a symbol of chaos. In fact, demonic chaos, that a supreme deity had to bring order upon. Somehow God, a deity had to control. Now, think about it in the Old Testament, where it gives us the exact account. How does the Bible begin? Have you ever read that, Genesis 1? And remember that? Listen to what it says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. You see, when God made heavens and earth, water was there. He made water right from the beginning. Sea was there. And it says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Can you picture the chaos? What did God do? On the second day itself, he separated the waters into two parts. Waters above, waters below. You know what he was doing? He was bringing order where there was chaos. What's more, I don't have time to go into all the details. In fact, go to my blog site, abaddonshah.com, and you will see the entire message laid out. Okay? I'm not going to go in detail. We don't have time for that. What happened when God brought judgment on the earth? Waters from above came down. Waters from below came up. And there was a worldwide flood. Now, at times, the chaos of the waters was referred to as a dragon that God had to destroy. Listen to Psalm 74, verse 13. God, you divided the sea by your strength. You broke the heads of the sea serpents in the waters. You broke the heads of Leviathan in pieces. Means repeatedly in the Old Testament, God is controlling the sea as if he's controlling a dragon. He beats it down. Listen to Psalm 89, verse 8. O Lord God of hosts, who is mighty like you, O Lord? Listen, verse 9. You rule the raging of the sea. You rule the raging of the sea when its waves rise. You still them. And I can go on and on. I don't have time. Go to the blog site and you'll see more on it. Jump over to the New Testament, the last book of the Bible, Revelation, chapter 13. John says that I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten. You see that again? The demonic chaos. Where is it coming from? It's coming from the sea. Now, don't think that the sea that you go to or the ocean is all demonic. No, that's not the point. The point is it symbolized, it represented demonic chaos that God had to control. And by the way, Revelation 21:1, John says, now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. This does not mean there is not going to be any water in heaven. What it means is the demonic chaos is gone. Now, you got to keep that in mind. This miracle was not just, yay, they're crossing over the Galilee and, oh, storm came and Jesus said, calm down, it's over. what he was doing was he was showing that he was more powerful than the demonic chaos in the world. I mean, he addressed the sea. You know what he was talking to? Not just a body of water that was rising up, but he was also telling the demons of hell, you will not bring me or these guys down to the bottom of this sea. Something more. The sleeping Jesus. Now, I don't have time again to go into all this. Go to the blog site and check it out. We need to understand what a sleeping God meant to the ancient peoples, and especially the people of God. Again, to the Babylonians, the Ugarites, the Egyptians, the Akkadians, a sleeping God was a sign of control and power. Now, in the Bible, we see that repeatedly. What did God do after he created the heavens and the earth? What did he do on the seventh day? He rested. Did God need to rest? Did he need to sleep? Was he tired? Of course not. Rest was a symbol of control and power. I have finished my work. I am sitting down because now it's all the way I want it to be. Isaiah 51:9. Listen to how people talk to God. Awake. Awake, God. Put on strength. O arm of the Lord, awake as in the ancient days, in the generations of old. God's people often told God to wake up. Now, you and I know our God does not sleep. He doesn't need sleep. Remember the against the prophets of Baal? Our God is always awake. Why is it that even the people of Israel are saying awake? Listen to Psalm 44, verse 23. Awake, why do you sleep, O Lord? Arise, do not cast us off forever. Why do you hide your face and forget our affliction and our oppression? I can go on and give many more references. Here's the thing. Jesus is sleeping in the midst of a sea storm, a demonic chaos, because he was telling his disciples that he was God. What is the point? Storms in life give us a vision of Jesus Christ as we've never seen him before. Question this morning is Jesus in the boat with you? You need Christ in your life. Right this moment, wherever you are, give your heart to Jesus Christ. Ask him to save you. He is God's Son who came in this world, gave his life to save you from the wrath of God, from the penalty of your sins. Receive him in your life. Right this moment, all you have to do is pray a simple prayer. God, I know I'm a sinner. And Jesus is the Savior, the one who bridges the gap between heaven and earth, fully God, fully man. And he died for me 2,000 years ago. And I want him to be my Savior. Forgive me and live in my life and help me to live for you. And if you are saved, that's an awesome thing. My challenge to you would be, as you're going through these storms, whatever those storms are, don't give up. God is with you. He is allowing you to go through these storms for a reason. And he will reveal himself in a fresh, in a new way, if you're willing to listen, if you're willing to obey him.
Thank you so much for joining us again today. And my encouragement to you is to remember that Jesus Christ is with you. No matter what you're facing, he has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. For more information, visit us online at clearviewbc.org. And for today's sermon notes, visit my blog site at abidanshaw.com.